Is that one on? Is that on?
No, not on.
What did you press there? The record.
You're right.
Record, is it on? Good morning. The reason why I asked that question, as I said, because the shiur today is a continuation of the shiur the drasha that I gave Yom Ha'atzmaut in the morning. So since there are a number of people who were there, but not so many. So all that it makes a difference is how much time am I going to spend on a quick review so that we can continue, because the Yom Ha'atzmaut in the morning was based on Parshat Bechukotai. And this coming Shabbos is Parshiot Pahar Bechukotai. Now, before I forget, this shiur is dedicated to the memory of my dear Shver Olo Hashom, Bela's father, Binyamin Ben Menachem Mendel Olo Hashom. Tomorrow is his yahrzeit. I like my Shver. I liked him very much. He was a tayre yid. Now, you see, Bela, you see I'm better when it comes to your father than to my parents. Last week, Tuesday, I was going to dedicate to my parents because I had yahrzeit for both of them last week. And I forgot to say it. I forgot. But I don't forget my shver. But my parents were mechel me. We put it on the internet. We wrote that it's l'zecha nishmat. My parents, my mother's yahrzeit was Pesach Sheni, Yud Dalet. Yud Dalet Iyar, and 2 days later, the 16th of Iyar, is my father's yahrzeit, but there was a difference of 24 years between the two. My mother, Allah Shalom, died young. She was Chava Bela Basra Modcha David. My father was Yehuda Rav Yehuda. All right. So now I'm going to give a brief. Did everybody get the third sheet?
Yes.
I think they may want to take it home with them after they can study it at home. Bela, I don't have the sheet for the shiur. Parsha Bechukotai is usually known by people as the parsha in which the Tochacha appears. Terrible, terrible series of curses that will befall the Jewish people in the event that they sin. My good friend, sometimes he's my good friend, sometimes he's not such a good friend. My good friend Rabbi Riskin wrote some months ago. Since last Friday he's on the downer. We'll read what he wrote on Friday. I don't want to talk about it, but right. But he wrote something a few months ago. It was very nice that as a young man he ended up one Shabbos davening in Klosenberg. Klosenberg was in Williamsburg. Klosenberg Rebbe Shul was on Lee Avenue. Nobody knew that the building used to house the Lee movie house, where you could see three movies for a nickel. And what do you think parents did with us little kids in Williamsburg? We're making trouble. So give a nickel and rent, and you spent the whole afternoon in the Lee. And then, after the mention, the whole thing, you understand, after the war, the Klosenberg Rebbe came, and a lot of, Williamsburg became even more Orthodox than it was before. It was, by the way, one of the most beautiful communities in America. Most beautiful communities in America. Anyway, many more Jews moved in, far less were going to the movies. So the end is that the Lee was sold to the Klosenberg Rebbe. And I used to go there for Tishon Friday night and other times, but it seems that Rabbi Erskine happened to be there on a Shabbos that they were reading the Tochacha. I'm not sure whether it was Bukul Kosai or it was Ki Tisa, or it was Ki Tovo. That doesn't make, that's not important. But the story is beautiful. As usual, the Baal Tefillah, the Al Kore, is reading the Tochacha very softly. Whisper. You don't want to hear it. And the Rebbe started yelling, Hecha! Hecha! We've been through worse than that. The Tochacha doesn't frighten us anymore. We've been through worse than it all. What a powerful story. And I can see in my mind's eye the Kozenberg Rebbe saying it. He lost a wife and 11 children. And started a whole new family. All right. So the heart of Parshat Bechukotai is the Tochacha. But three things. In the middle of the Tochacha, there is a message of such awesome power and such hope in the middle of the Tochacha. One little puzzle tucked away over there, and you know, if you can't hear what the Baal Kore is saying, you just miss the great message. That's what the Yom HaTzmut in the morning was about. They're not going to give you that message. And then there a puzzle or two that appeared before the Tochacha. Powerful. And then there are psukim after the Tochacha that are powerful. We will only be able to do part of it today. I have a lot to say. So we're going to do it as much as we can. All right. What's the powerful passage? Number one. V'hashimoti ani et haaretz. I will make the land desolate. And your foe, v'shomim u'alah yevechem ha'yoshvim ba. And your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. This is in the middle of the Tochacha. God says, I'm going to make the land desolate. And your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. Rashi doesn't let us pass this pasuk without realizing what the pasuk is saying. Rashi moti ani et haaretz. Zo midah tova liyisrael. This is a good measure. This is a matter of benefit for Israel. In the middle of the Tochacha, there's good news. The good news is, Shalom ha'ovim nachas ruach bi'artzam, the enemy will not find contentment in Israel's land. Shetehei shomeimo miyoshveha, because the land will be desolate of its inhabitants. You understand? Even, thank you. Thank you very much. Hey? Do you understand what's being said over here? Yeah, and the land will be desolate. Nobody will ever be able to settle the land. And you know what the land is going to do for 1900 years? It's going to wait for the kinderlach to come back home. And when we come back home, then the land is going to begin to give out its fruit. So, I bring here two things. In addition to the Rashi, I bring the Ramban. Number two is the Ramban. V'chein, Mashom Rabakan, the Ramban says that which is said here. V'shom mo'aleha yevekan, your enemies will desolate. He besogat tova. This is good news. V'vaseret b'chol ha'goliot gives the good news and tells us in all exile, she'ein artzeinu mekabelet oyeveinu, our land will not receive our enemies. That's awesome. It's awesome. I always say that there were a few seconds, maybe less than a few seconds, that I had this sort of feeling after Rashi wrote what he wrote, that this is a good measure for the Jewish people, that the land will never be settled by anybody else. Did Rashi get up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night and wonder, hey, what did I write? Who knows? 100, 200, 300 years from now, the Japanese are going to come to Eretz Yisrael. And as I always say, sonies will be growing from the trees of you. And industrious people are going to come here and they're going to turn this desolate land into a land flowing with milk and honey. Rashi slept well. I should sleep as well as Rashi slept. As far as Rashi is concerned, the word of Hashem is ultimate truth. The Rebbeinu Shem says, "V'hashimelti ani et haaretz," I'm going to make the land desolate. We can count on it. The pasuk says, "V'shamamu alah yevechem agilshim," from your enemies who dwell in the land will be desolate. You can be certain that's exactly what will happen. One of my themes, and that's going to be ultimately the theme of the whole shiur today. We are living at an awesome moment in history where we can already look back and say, you know, the pasuk was right. The pasuk was right. We've passed the 1900 years in which everybody tried. The Saracens, the Crusaders, the Mamelukes, the Tatars, who knows all the Fashlugina nations that tried to settle the land, and nobody succeeded. Nobody succeeded. The Turks were here for 400 years. The British were here for 30 years. Nobody settled it. The land was inhospitable to anybody except the Jewish people. When Jews started coming back, the earth began to awake from its 1900 year slumber.
And of course, hibernation for 1900 years?
Sit back, just whoa, wait till I'm finished.
Okay,
you want to call it hibernation? It slept for 1900 years, you're absolutely right. It slept for 1900 years. I don't have to go over again, we talked about it so often. Which is one of my fantasies, I would like to be the one someday to take Mark Twain by the hand and walk through the valley of Emek Yisrael with him, which he described as being dead. Nothing grows here. There's no life. It's dusty. It's hot. And I'd like to take him through. Markala, is this what you saw? Is this real? No, that's not what I saw, all right? The Ramban continues by saying, V'gamzu raya, this is also great proof. Raya gedolo haftoch alonu, great proof. He doesn't say what the proof is. You know what I like shot over here? And I've said this has been a recurrent theme of mine as well. When I was growing up, We were the shtickle intellectuals, you know, we were looking for proofs of the existence of God. We were trying to prove the Torah is indeed true. And there were all sorts of proofs. Fagnish. We don't need any proofs anymore. Nothing. We can look at Psukim and say, that's the reality, it's the truth. When the Rebbeinu Shem said, V'hashimoti ani et haaretz, I am going to make the land desolate, you can bet on it. You can. Oh, I turned it on. You can bet on it. We can testify that every word of this pasuk is true, because we have the benefit of looking from the point of view of history. So the Ramban continues to say that this is great proof. And a great promise. You will not find all the inhabited lands on the face of this earth a land that is better and wider than her, and a land that was always inhabited. It was never desolate. It was always inhabited. And now it is as desolate and destroyed as she is. The Ramban, of course, is talking when he sees the land in, you should all know the date, 1267. 1267, the Ramban arrived in Eretz Yisrael from Spain. And he saw long before Mark Twain, who came in 1867. How desolate it is. Ki me oz yotzonim, and you know why it's desolate? Because of the time that we left the land, lo kiblo uma v'loshon, the land did not receive any other nation or tongue. V'kula mishtadlin lo yeshiva, they're all trying to settle the land, v'ein le'el yadam, and they can't succeed. And here we are, we can prove the second part. What the Ramban never was able to see is when the land indeed begins to become fruitful and gives out its produce, when we come back, that we've seen. He didn't see that. He saw the desolation, but he believed with perfect faith that's the way it's going to be. Unbelievable. And then I didn't say this on Yom HaTzibur because I only found it a few days ago. How did I miss it? How did I miss this? The three, the Arachayim HaKadosh says, Vashimoti Ani. The word Ani, what would happen if it would have simply said, Vashimoti et Haaretz, I will make the land desolate? Who needs the Ani? The Ani. So the Arachayim says, Omar Ani. It says here, God said Ani, Pedosh, Midazu, this measure of the land, that it will be desolate until we come back. Hashem bechvodo yaseno. God himself is going to be the one to make sure of it. He's going to make sure that the land is going to be desolate. Vatam, you know why he's going to do it himself? Make sure that it will be so. Kihi mido tovo, because this is a good measure, a good promise to the Jewish people. Shelo yimtzu, as our rabbi said, Kamama Chazal, Shelo yimtzu, oyivim nachas ruach. The enemy will not find any contentment in the land. Alright? So there we have Rashi, the Ramban, Arachayim, and never lose sight of the fact that this is a pasuk right there in the middle of all of the curses. If I would be able to, I would say that even when they read the Tochacha silently, this pasuk should be said out loud. Because we bear absolute testimony. It's true. Then we got another four. Number four is the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin. This Gemara in Sanhedrin is really what ultimately defines our epoch in history. There is no greater, more powerful definition than this. And therefore anybody who's going to tell you, we're still in Galus, we're in exile. Not only that, the worst exile is by Ben-Gurion and Lapid, you understand? Naftali Bennett, that's our worst. Bennett, that's worse Golos than Nebuchadnezzar, you understand? We're terrible, terrible Golos. Or as a few weeks ago I quoted this fellow who wrote the rabbi who wrote the article in which magazine? Mishpacha magazine, about the fact that as the bitter Golos continues unabated, nothing happened here. Not a thing happened over here. So here we come to a Maamar Chazal, which tells us how do our rabbis look at the period in which we live. The Omar Rabbi Abba, for Omar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba said, Ein l'chokei tzmibulim, he said. Rabbi Abba said there is no greater revealed or beginning of a period of revealed end of days than this. Shenema, my famous pasuk, I've been saying the pasuk for 50 years, a pasuk in Yecheskel, where Yecheskel says, Shenema, and by the way, who's speaking in the pasuk? Watch this. The one who's speaking in the pasuk is Hashem himself, and he's giving instructions to the mountains, to the valleys, to Enek Yisrael. The instructions are, V'atem Horei Yisrael, you mountains of Israel, Ampechen titenu, give out your branches. Uferyechen tisu, and carry your fruit. La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel. My people Israel. You start giving out your fruit for my people Israel. Keep careful of all, because the time of their return is drawing close. The land already knew before we did that we're coming back. And the land began to give out its fruit. And there Rashi says, unbelievable Rashi, number 4a, Megulam Yisrael, no greater reveal than this, Kishetitein Eretz Yisrael, Pir Yoba'ayin Yofer, when Eretz Yisrael will give out its fruit with abundance, Oz Yikarev HaKetz, then the end of days is coming, Ve'en HaKetz Megula Yotev, there is nothing more revealed. There's nothing that you can point to or show or demonstrate that is greater and more revealed than this. So it was here at this point in the my Yom Ha'atzmaut. Mr. Gold, and what's
the camera?
The camera went off.
Must have
jumped
through.
I shook up the camera?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we have our technician here on.
Just now.
It's no movie area and memory card.
It's full. What's it say?
Memory card is full.
Close it. Close the whole thing. I don't know. I think it's a plot. It's a plot against me.
I'll send you my tape.
Huh?
I'll send you my tape.
No, a tape I know. It's a plot. You know how great this would look on video?
The rabbi from
Magazine.
Yeah, that's right. They're after me. I mean, I'm not paranoid. I mean, it's true they're all after me.
Maybe you can delete some mysterious ones and then make over it.
This is finished. We have no place left on the memory card.
If that was transferred to something else, then you could erase from here and continue using it.
But I can't do it now.
Huh?
I can't do it now.
Right.
I'll just have to live with it. It's basher. That's all. A little aggravation isn't so bad every so often. Yeah, okay, that's all. Okay.
Rabbi Golis, he could be a low blood pressure.
All right.
Don't worry, you'll see it on here. I'll speak it on my computer.
It was at this point on Yom HaTzmaut that I made reference to the fact that my wife had printed out to me about a week or two ago, because she's been attending an extremely intense course there. She doesn't want to look at it. She doesn't want me to say it. She's getting very, very upset with this. I'm not saying anything. Anyway, I can't say what an intense course she's taking in the laws of Kashrus and Mitzvot Atluyos Baaretz. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to come home. And it's going to be okay. At least now it's not on camera. Yeah, that's all right. Anyway, so she ended up printing out for me agriculture in Israel and Wikipedia. And here I it's three pages, but I condensed it into two pages. And I can't spend more than 5 minutes on this, you understand? But we have to move ahead. And I would suggest you take it home. I know it's very small. That's the way it came out on the computer. I can't do anything. But the sum total of these two sides is that agriculture in Israel is something about which they use time and time again. World player, global market. It's unbelievable. I'll just read you a few. What is it? Israel is a major exporter of fresh produce and a world leader in agricultural technologies. Despite, this is awesome, this is one of the first sentences, despite the fact that the geography of Israel is not naturally conducive to agriculture. More than half of the land area is desert, and the climate and lack of water resources do not favor farming. Only 20% of the land area is naturally arable. Do you understand? Only 20% of this land area. There were, you know, we used to complain that the Russian brought us to a land, you understand, that it doesn't have oil or natural gas. Now it turns out that we're going to become a world player and a global energy power, you understand? Moshe Rabbeinu, we used to say, made a mistake. He made a wrong turn. He should have made a right turn and end up in Saudi Arabia. Turns out now we're going to be a major power in that. Agriculturally, so I always say, and this is the point, of course, at which Phil Chernowsky came in and put a beautiful tomato on my stander, that what I learned in Panavision 55, 56, all that you had in the whole country, we had tomatoes, and you had cucumbers, and avatiach, melon. Very little else. During that year and a half or so that I was here, the first apples came out onto the market. It was a shamana harpa. They were little and garnished and garnished. Fast forward 55 years later, 58 years later, this country that was hardly producing anything, there was rationing going on. In 55, there was still rationing. And you walk into I always say when I walk into my fruit and vegetable store in Harnov, I take a look at the burst of gorgeous color and the wide variety. It's unbelievable. This is Nissen Gluyim. This is what the Gemara in Sanhedrin is saying. Ein l'cha keitz megula mizu. But don't tell me we're in Gulas, and don't tell me we're in the worst Gulas we ever were by Yidin, you understand? The Rebbeinu says otherwise. If you don't think that we're in the process of redemption, you're disagreeing with God. And I wouldn't want to start out with him if you paid me. And more than that, in the Pasuk in Yechezkel, who is speaking to the mountains and tells them to give out their blood? God, because he says, Ki kervu ami lavo, my people are, the time of their coming is close. That means he wants us here. And the fact that the land is giving out produce means that the Rebbeinu is saying to the whole Jewish world, I did this for you because I want you here. Don't tell me your Torah with, it's Usa, you're not allowed to go, it's he, it's her. All the Torah, it's all wrong. But I feel good saying that. All right, just another few. So what's awesome that we read over here is the land is not naturally a land of agriculture. This land, only 20% of the land is arable, you understand? And look at what we have over here. Look at what we have. It was this Gemara, I'll say it again, what's the difference? It was this Gemara that inspired me to say that if you want to speak to God, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see God, you go to Shush Machne Yehuda. I'm telling you, Lachamei Veskim Shana, when I come up over there, and I don't know where they might want to send me, there'll be Malachim standing over there saying, the guy who made up that sentence is not going down there. He's going up there. I remember I once told that to Shlomo Karbach. I can't tell you the whole story, but I told him, Shlomo, you know, when it's all over, they're going to take you straight to, the bad place. But when you're going to come there, there are going to be tens of thousands of malachim who are going to stand there and say, the fellow who composed Uvo Hovdim Yerushalayim, they're not going to let you in there. No way. So he looked at me with a twinkle in his eye and he said, Shalom, what about Od Avinu Chai? I said, Shlaima, you're absolutely right. The man who composed Od Avinu Chai went straight to heaven. So here it is. In the second paragraph, you got to read every part of this, but I'm just on the line. Agricultural production has expanded 16 times, 3 times more than population growth. It's unbelievable. There's no other country in the world that can pull that off. Today, where it's on the line. The area of irrigated farmland has increased from 74,000 acres to 460,000 acres. Very, very, very. Israeli agricultural production rose 26% between 1999 and 2009. Farmers have also grown more with less water, using 12% less water to grow 26% more produce. Who can pull off something like this? All right, then of course, further down, everything they did, list all of the fruits and all of the vegetables that are grown here in such massive quantities. And remember, don't forget, we're about the smallest country in the world. The only one that may be smaller than us is, I don't know, Luxembourg or Micronesia?
Luxembourg.
Huh?
Luxembourg.
I just said that.
Yeah, that's
you agree with you're agreeing with me. They're good.
Yes.
I love people who agree with me. Underlined over there, it says, furthermore, grape vineyards are found across the country as the country's wine industry has developed to become a world player. You understand? The French had been making wine since the days of Rashi. Rashi was in the wine business. And you take a look at the country all around where Rashi lived. They must have hundreds of thousands of acres of vineyards. The French Rhine. And here comes the little upstart. This little upstart, Israel. And they're moving ahead. Yes?
Where did Rashi live?
Troyes.
Where did Rashi live?
Vermeiser, Worms.
What's that?
Worms.
Germany. I asked you where he lived in Israel.
I'm talking about France. Rashi lived in France, and Rashi was in the wine business. So I'm saying that France was in the wine business since the days of Rashi. And Israel is in the wine business, well, I don't know, since the days of you and me. You understand? 30 years. 40 years. And they're moving ahead of France. Rashi did not live here. But Rashi wanted badly to live here.
The Crusaders
Huh? The Crusaders made a korban. Okay, I'm just going to go to one more paragraph. No, I don't have time for anything else. You understand? This is the one at which those who are at the Yom HaShoah, remember, I said when I read this paragraph, it has all those lines on the side, I gave a yell, Bela! My wife was at the other side of the room, the house, and she made it, and I said, listen to this. Listen to it. I'm going to read it. Local cows, Jewish cows, you know, we're not talking about Elsie, that was the American, what do they call the?
Daisy.
No, Elsie.
What did you say, they called the Baylor? What?
Daisy.
Daisy, no, Elsie. Elsie was the cow. And most probably the closest we come to the name of a cow over here is Elite. Elite chocolate bars have a big cow on it. Let's call it Elite, okay? So local cows produce the highest amounts of milk per animal in the world. You hear that? highest amounts of milk per animal in the world, with an average of 10,208 kilograms, 2,000 liters of dairy in 2009, according to data published in 2011 by the Israel Center for Breeding, outperforming cows in the United States. Elsie, just move over, Elsie. Out of the way. Israeli. They are milked three times a day, as opposed to all other cows in the world who are milked at most twice a day. The cows over here give milk three times a day. So what? Why did I yell for Bela to come? What is this land? Eretz, Zavas, Chalav, or Dvash? And the Dvash part, so somebody came over to me after the shiur and then he sent me the information. Israel is in the process of producing the largest date in the world. 10 centimeters. The dvash of the pasuk is dates. The juice. The nectar that comes from dates. When the Rebbein Shem said he's bringing us to a land, Eretz Zavas Chalav Dvash, he meant it. It's true. And we can testify. For the last 1900 years, I don't even know whether there were any cows here. Shomu Shamayim. We're in Golas over here. The Golas continues on the bay. The bitter Golas continues on the bay.
The long.
Okay, that's right. The long, dark, cold. The Golos continues unabated. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not sure whether the Rebbein Shem laughs or he sheds a tear. Me, how can people be so blind? We may talk about blindness next week. How can people be so blind? I have some stuff to tell you about that. Anyway, the Gemara that I have over here, number 5, the Gemara Masechta Megillah, is telling us here the order of the Shmon Esrei. I just want to take you to one part. The first part that's underlined. Umar ro lomar birchas hashonim b'chiyas. The 9th bracha in Shmona Esrei is Birchat Hashanim. Borech Oleinu, bless this year. The same bracha al pnei ha'adama, give blessing upon the face of. Why is it bracha number 9? Dichtiv. Omar Rabbi Alexandri. Rabbi Alexandri said, "Keneged mafkiya shorim, dixiv shvor zroa rasha rash." It corresponds in the 9th parak in Tehillim. David speaks about those who raise prices when it's unjustified. Raising prices that's unjustified, you hurt thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. And the ones who are hurt most are the poor. David, in the 9th chapter in Tehillim, he says, Shvor Zroa Rasha. Break the arm of the evil. 9th Baruch in Shmon Esrei corresponds to 9th chapter in Tehillim. Now, Umaro Loma Kibbutz Golios Liacha Birchat Hashanim. Why is the bracha of the ingathering of the exiles? What comes after Baruch Ato Hashem Mevorei Hashanim? What's the next bracha? The next bracha is Tekar the shofar Godol Lecheiruseinu. Sound the shofar to gather in our exiles. Do you understand? This hashkaf is part of Hashmona Esrei. Three times a day, people can say Shmona Esrei a whole lifetime and not understand that what we see over here in Eretz Yisrael is the correct hashkafa, and that's why our rabbis made the Shmon Esrei that way. They can walk around and say that nothing has happened over here. What are you talking about? Why is the bracha of Kibbutz Golios after the bracha of Birchat Hashanim? Because you need the land first to be prepared for those who are going to come. God prepares the land. And you know what the Gemara now does? The only other place in all of Shas where they bring that self same pasuk of Yechezkel, you mountains of Israel, give out your branches and carry your fruit for my people. What must of necessity come before the bracha of the ingathering of the exiles is the bracha of the land. And we see it. That's the difference between us and 1900 years of Jews who lived in Golos. We see it with our own eyes. It's unbelievable what we see. Now this year is beginning. That was the introduction. If I have to go into extra innings next week, we're going to next inning. There's a lot to say. Next week, of course, you know, is going to be Erev Yom Yerushalayim. Number six. Here we're going to deal with one word, the word that appears immediately before the Tochacha. The second line, I will walk among you. If you're good, this is all if you're good. And I will be your God. You will be a nation. I'm God, your God. Who took you out of the land of Egypt? Me, Yotlehem Avadim. So that you should no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. For Eshbor Motot Ulchem. I will break the pegs of your yoke. Motot, the sticks. Imagine the oxen with the stick of the yoke over it. I will break the yoke. Va'olech etchem ko me'yut. And I will lead you erect. In benching, we say, we're going to come to that soon. Harachamon. Who yishbar uleinu me'al tzavareinu v'yolicheinu k'mimiyut me'artzeinu. In, very good. Very good.
We all bench.
And they bench. And then in Ahavat Olam or Ahavat Rabbah before Shmon Esrei, it also says, Mahev v'havei aleinu brocha v'sholem me'arba kamfos kol oretz u'shvor uleinu. Some say, Ol Hagoyim, Yal Tzavareinu, V'Tolichenu, we ask of God to bring us Ko Mimiyut. Ko Mimiyut. So, what is the meaning of the word Ko Mimiyut? So the first thing I bring is the Rashi, but really the Rashi should be second, but it doesn't make the difference. We'll read the Rashi and I'll explain. Underlined over there says, Ko Mimiyut, B'Komazakufa. Erect. But wait a minute, we have to understand what that erect means. And you know how you're going to understand what the word Kovamiyot erect means? When you see what Rashi's Einikel, the Rashbam, wrote. Number seven is the Rashbam. And those two lines over there are the Rashbam. Ha'ol shel eitz, the yoke that's made out of wood, karui is called motot. Motot. Lefish. Shemate umarkin et savyar hashor. A moat is something that causes something to be bent. So the yoke is called a moat because it causes the animal to be bent. Komimiyut. So therefore, the meaning of komimiyut is komimiyut comes after it says, "I will re." Break the yoke. So what happens when the yoke is taken off? You know what? You stand up straight. That's much, much different than what Rashi is saying. The Rashbam is the one who always, simple pshat. Yoke, bent. No yoke, stand up. When Rashi says komimiyut means komazakufai, you know what he's describing? A man who's already standing, but you know what? All of a sudden he stands tall. Komazakufai means adds the dimension of pride, determination. That's what Rashi is saying. Not simply that I've taken the yoke off, so you spring back and you set it straight. No, 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 no. Rashi says, Jews will stand up proud and tall like they had never been in all of history. And I've said it, I say it most probably every Yom HaTzmut. That's what I remember 2 weeks before my Bar Mitzvah. 2 weeks before my Bar Mitzvah. You can do all the math you want, I don't care, by the way. Oh, my Bar Mitzvah parsha was Bechu Kosai, this Shabbos. This Shabbos is my birthday? This Shabbos. Okay. Don't sing, it's okay, it's okay. Don't sing. This was 2 weeks before my Bar Mitzvah in 1948. I lived in Williamsburg. We davened in Yeshiva Torah Vadas on Wilson Street, 206. Was it 206 Wilson Street? It was 206. Torah Vadas. I remember coming in for Mincha, you understand? Coming in for Mincha. It's May 14th, 1948. And the fact is that we had been walking around for months. And you know, when big things are happening, even the young all of a sudden become, we were aware of everything that was going on. Very, very highly aware of what was going on in Eretz as well. We knew everything. The country had been at war already for half a year. What was going to be on May 14th? And then... We already found somebody came running in to shul at Mincha time, and he gave a scream out. President Truman just recognized the state of Israel. I looked around the shul, I remember it. There were many people with numbers on their arms. All of a sudden, they're not standing the way they were standing a minute early. They were standing b'komazakuva. You could feel the joy thundering through the shul. I have very little patience for anybody who trivializes Yom HaTzmaut. Very little patience. And tell me no stories. Anybody who trivializes it simply doesn't know modern Jewish history, doesn't have a clue, doesn't know how many hundreds of thousands of Jews were homeless in the world, still living in the concentration camps in which they had been. Ah, Medina, Medina, I'm getting upset. No good. Blood pressure, we don't want to. So the Rashbam says that komamius means you remove the yoke. So now, the head is able to stand up. Rashi's saying, no, 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 much more than that. We're talking about a feeling, standing tall. What are you talking about? Every Jew in the world stood 10 feet tall with the establishment of the State of Israel. This I took from Chanan Torah Olav Hashalom. He's learning the Pshat and Rashi, and he's correct that Koma Zakuf is talking much more than just you can stand straight. What we're saying, standing tall. Number nine, he brings in number nine. He brings from something from Rabbi Natan, who was the great Talmud of Rav Nachman Mibreslev. Al nekudah zu omed Rabbi Nosson Talmidah shel Rav Nachman Mibreslev b'lishono ha-miyuchedet b'likutei halachas of Breslev al hilchus birchus ha-mazon. When he comes to explain the harachamon hu yishbar uleinu me'al tzavareinu. Watch this. Harachamon hu yishbar uleinu me'al tzavareinu. We say it in Benjamin, let God break the yoke that's upon our necks, And he is going to bring us upright, La'artzenu. These are the words, quote, the words of Rav Nosson, the great Talmud of the Breslov. So this pasuk about komimiyut, here, right before the Tochacha, V'olechetchem komimiyut, is talking with regard to Eretz Yisrael. Shelashom hayu holchin Yisrael, that's where Israel is on their way. In the parashah, they're on their way to Eretz Yisrael. Ki kol ha'alichot v'hadrachim v'hanisiyot shel Yisrael, all the walking, all of the roads, all of the journeys of Israel, hakol hayu leilech l'chboshet Eretz Yisrael, everything, its intent was to conquer Eretz Yisrael. V'zehu, that's what it says when God says in the pasuk over here in our parsha, v'olech etchem komimiyot, and I will take you, I will lead you upright, v'hainu b'koma z'kufa, which means standing truly upright, b'chinat azut v'akshanut. It's most probably the name of this Rebbe, Nachman Brown. Azut and akshanut. Azut is zut, chutzpah, and stubbornness. To accomplish it, you need to be tough. You're not going to get Eretz Yisrael by being wishy-washy and being nice to everybody. You have to have azus v'akshanut sh'omdim z'kufin v'akshanut gedola l'natzeach ha'milchama v'leilek v'lavol Eretz Yisrael. It's a battle, and you have to be tough and you have to be strong. That was ultimately the goal of Yitziat Mitzrayim. The goal of Yitziat Mitzrayim was to turn a slave people into an eternal people. The only way you become an Am HaNetzach, if you're tough as nails, you're stubborn, nothing is going to stop you. You can't come to Eretz Yisrael and win the battle for Eretz Yisrael, which is the most important struggle of the Jewish people. You need great, great stubbornness. Nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to stop you. You fail once, you fail twice, you keep going. The Tolichenu, the Heda, come here, Tlatzenu, the Heda, me, Amenu, Amen. All right? From here on and further, this is a Pshat in Komiyot, my Pshat in Komiyot. Okay. I also have something left to say. Chapter 11 in Yeshayahu, Pasuk 11. 11 in Yeshayahu. Chapter 11 happens to be the chapter of the coming of the Mashiach. And Pasuk 11, there it is. V'hoya b'yomahu, and it will come to place, take place on that day. Number 10. V'hoya b'yomahu, and it will be on that day. Yosef Hashem Sheinit Yado, God will send his hand again, Sheinit, a second time. Liknot et sh'or amo, to acquire the remnants of his people, asher yishor, that will remain from Ashur and Mitzrayim, Jews that will remain all over the world, Ashur, Mitzrayim, Patros, Kush, Elam, Shinar, Mechamat, Umiyei Ayam, V'nosa Neis Lagoyim. He's going to put up a banner for Saf Nivchei Yisrael, he's going to gather in the dispersed of Israel. You have to listen to a Rashi that will be elaborated on by the Radak, but this is Rashi. Emes Lamito, what Rashi is saying. What does it mean, Shenis? What is the Navi talking about? That God is going to gather in his people for a second time. Liknot, to acquire his people a second time. Is Yeshayahu, who lived during the time of the first Bet HaMikdash, talking about when Jews return from Bavel? Rashi says a resounding no. This pasuk is talking about the return of the Jews for the third time to Eretz Yisrael. We are the third time. And you know what the pasuk is describing? The essence of that third return. Let Rashi speak for himself. Shanis. Kimosha Kano Omi Mitzrayim, just as God acquired them from Egypt. Shahaitag Gu'ulatam Birura. Their redemption was clear. Me'ein Shi'abud. They were not enslaved to anybody else. And therefore, you can't count Bayit Sheni, Avul Gu'ulat, Bayit Sheni, the redemption of the second Beit HaMikdash when Jews came back from Babel. They were under Persia. They were a vassal state of the Persian Empire for 150 years. And then they were a vassal state of the Persian Empire. And then there was a brief period of about 100, 200 years during the time of Bayit Sheni that there was the kingdom of Beit Hashmonai. So the Rashi says, this pasuk cannot be talking that the second time is when they returned from the Babylonian exile. Because that's not God acquiring his people, because his people were a vassal state of a greater empire. You can't count that. They were in fact under Koresh, king of Persia. But when we come back with independence and we are not under any other person, but we become the Balabatim. That's what Yeshayahu was talking about. I'm going to stretch out my hand a second time. Let's go, where's this? Next page, the last page. We're doing good. Another few minutes. And here I bring the Radak. The Radak says, shame it. We don't have to read the whole thing. He's going to agree with Rashi, but for other reasons. Because he says, in this pasuk, they list 7, 8, 9 different places Jews are going to come from. And at the time of Bayit Sheni, only two tribes came back. Yehuda and Binyamin. And they came from only one place. They came from Bavel. They didn't come from any place else. So this pasuk that's talking about Jews coming from so many countries could not be Bayit Sheni. So when did they come from all over? In our days, where the bitter golos continues unabated, and nothing has changed in the last 65 years. Nothing has changed in the last 1900 years, you understand? Unabated. Terrible golos over there in New York. Absolutely, boy. Real bad, bad golos, you understand? Continues unabated. So therefore he says, the first time God acquired the Jewish people when he took the master out of the house of bondage in Egypt. But when he begins to gather us in, he's going to go there to acquire us from all the places where we were dispersed. It's not talking about Golos Bavel. It agrees with Rashi, but for a different reason. Rashi says why the return from Golos, the return of Ezra and Nehemiah cannot be what the pasuk was talking about, is because we were under the Persian Empire. And when we come back this great time that the pasuk was talking about, we're going to be on our own Balabatim. And furthermore, then only two tribes came. And here we're talking about from all over the world. One other point that Gold wants to make is 12 and 13. Watch. I'm going to do it in 2 minutes. You'll see. There's an unusual mission in Pirkei Avos. The fifth parak. I've lost track. What parak is this week?
Fifth.
You mean the fifth? I have a sneaky suspicion it's the fifth this week. Sixth?
Five.
So I've got I have a Mishnah from this week's Perek. Yehuda ben Tema Omer, famous Yehuda ben Tema says, "Have a oz kenomer? You have to be strong like a leopard, or oz more than strong. Chutzpah, that's right. Kal kanesher, speedy and swift." Like the eagle, rots katzvi, to be able to run like the deer. Gibor Kari, mighty and powerful, like the lion, Lasot Ritzon Abichu Shabashamayim, to do the will of your Father in heaven. Hu Haya Omer, he would say, Az Panim LeGehenim, Ubeishus Panim LeGaneden, an Az Panim, that's talking about an Az Panim, a guy who's an Azus Panim, you understand, goes to Gehenim. But there's an Azus of Kedusha. There is a holy kind of Azus which is stubborn. And look what happens to the Mishnah here. Yehi datzom ufanecho Hashem Elokeinu shetibon tivnei irach b'meir v'yameinu, that your city shall be built speedily in our days, v'tein chokeinu v'toratecho, and give us a share in your Torah. There's no other Mishnah like this in all of Mishnahis. What's this tefillah doing here in the middle of this pasuk? What in heaven's name is this tefillah doing in this pasuk? So the piece that I have in number 13, of course, boy, deserves, it's probably a shir in and of itself, but it's a perish of the, I'll tell you what it is. It's a perish of the Rabbi Yaakov Emden to this Mishnah. And the first big paragraph, he says he doesn't understand. Nobody talks about this unusual Mishnah. Where do you have a Mishnah with a tefillah, you understand? You have a Mishnah. Arbov, Zizikin, Shar, Bar, Mave, Heve, On, Hashem, Hashi, On, you understand? In the middle of a Mishnah. So the idea that he's going to say is, he's going to make it very, very clear. Just read it. It's just a beautiful, you know, don't look in, you won't be able to find it, I'll tell you what it is. Yehuda ben Tema said we should be mighty, like we should be like the leopard. So he says, now when we're in exile, we don't have that might, we don't have that strength, we don't have that determination. So he says, you know what? You know where a person is able to develop strength, determination, stubbornness? When he's on his own land. As long as we're in Galus, we don't have that. And if Yehuda ben Tema says we should be strong, you know what he means? We're going to have to make our way back to Eretz Yisrael. And you know what we're going to need when we get there? We're going to have to become strong, powerful, tough, like we've never been in old history. I'm just going to read a sentence or two. Ki hamakom godem, the place where a person is makes the difference. Kein ish nodeid mimekomo hagole libo valimo. A person who's wandering, not in his own land, doesn't have a heart full of great strength. The eretz molladet after that pause in the middle over there. The eretz molladeto shalodom, a person's birthplace, chozer umaknelo midat ha'azot, is going to give him back again the midah of being tough and being strong. Lachein bikei shehirotzan shetivne eicha v'toshev lonu. So you know what? The Mishnah is saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, build your house. Bring us back. And you know what will happen if you do that? We are again going to develop that strength, that power that we lost in all the years. He wrote this about 300 years ago, written 50 years ago. Every word over here is emes lamito. What we were never able to do for 1900 years in Golis, we come back over here and we are what, the second, third military power in the world? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Because a man's country, he says, gives him back all of that great strength and determination. It's all a function of place. It's a function of the land. But you see, so he says, but you know, this midah of Azus, you got to watch out. Azus can go one way and the other. This Azus, this chutzpah, can be a blessing of the highest order, and it can also be a, it can cause a terrible churban. And you know what makes a difference? If you have Torah, then Torah takes that power and purifies it. That's why he says, and the only way you're going to build your city is with us being here to fight. It's not going to happen any other way. We're not going to throw Gemaras. We're not going to throw Rambams. Nothing. But wait a minute. We have to make sure that that great strength is modified and ennobled by Torah. Therefore he ends, V'tein chalkenu v'toratecha. You need Tzal and you need Torah. That's right. So that's why. So you know what I'm saying? Va'olech etchem komimiyot, I'm saying. You know what komimiyot means? Tough as nails. That can only come here. It won't work any other way. So therefore the Galatian says he's going to bring you Kohamiyot, it means you're going to develop that great strength. Okay?